Friday at school. They had us doing some training, and they handed me this laptop, and you got to type in your password and username, and I went to type it in, and the keys are not showing up what I'm typing in. So it's like, I'm with Tommy and David there. It's just, except I thought somebody had sabotaged the keyboard because, and I couldn't get in because you got, if you don't type your username in your password, and it doesn't show you your password, just a little asterisk. Finally, I learned that there are three different keyboard layouts, one thing called COMAC and Dvorak or something like that, and somebody had changed it to COMAC, which changes where the keys are. And so I'm used to QWERTY, so it's not right. S is not S. It's R. And different. And finally got it fixed, but I'd missed all the training trying to figure out how to log into the computer. So I was lost there on Friday. So at least somebody knew what had gone on. And so even in elementary school, they sabotaged the Chromebooks by changing the keyboard. But we don't have God's Word changed. So let's look at Acts chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 11 through 20. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands, so that even face cloths or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Now, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, "I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded. When this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone, so that they calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses, starting in verse 24 of chapter 18, looking at a guy named Apollos. Apollos was a man of Jewish heritage. He was very eloquent in his speech. He was brought up a native of Alexandria, Egypt. That's an interesting place. I have been there. That's one of the places we got to go in Hayes Gray Cruise Lines, also known as United States Navy. We pulled into Alexandria, Virginia, and right off, after you get off the ship, they have all the "Hey Joes." The "Hey Joes" are people, "Hey Joe, I got a bargain for you. Hey Joe, come here, buy this. Hey Joe, come here. Hey Joe, you want to ride a camel out into the desert?" Real cheap. It's real expensive to ride back. So we had already been warned about these, and I got a lot of bargains there because it's just the economy is such that the U.S. dollar at that time was very valuable. And you get into the bargaining and everything, and you don't realize I just got five shirts for $5 and this little necklace, and he's offering me something else. This is a good deal already, so I'm just. But I got to see the pyramids and all that, and we pulled in from Alexandria. There's not all the intellectual center that it was at the time that Paul was writing this. This was the time where it was one of the places of learning, where you went to get the higher education. And Apollos was a guy from there. He had heard about Jesus, and he understood correctly about Jesus. He understood about salvation by Jesus. And he went to the synagogue in Ephesus, and he started proclaiming boldly about Jesus. Priscilla and Aquila, who were co-workers of Paul's, Paul was out in the countryside at this time. He wasn't in Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos speak in the synagogue and understood Apollos didn't have all the answers. He was teaching correctly what he knew, but Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and explained to him the way of Christ more fully. Now, this tells us something that we need to understand. All of us, every Christian, no matter how eloquent, no matter what position they're in, can learn more about Jesus. We don't always have all the answers. And it speaks a lot of Apollos' character. He was not afraid to learn more. He was not afraid to be corrected. There are some people that if you tell them Scripture says something else, they said, that's okay, I don't have to go with that part because I'm just going to go with the part I want. I remember even when I was up in Minnesota, one preacher was telling me, well, you just got to pick which part of the Bible you use for which situation. I said, no, they all fit together. You got to see how they all fit together for one situation. It's not pick this one for that and this one for that. No, they all work together. I even had somebody else tell me, God told me I can ignore that part of the Bible. No, that's not how it works. God does not tell you to ignore the Bible. Jesus said, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law. Now, a jot is like a dot of the I or a crossing of the T. Now, I got to learn since I'm teaching writing. It could be a dot of the J, too, because we put a dot on the J. And we cross our T's and we have the little crossbars for F's. But that little other little mark that makes the difference. Well, Apollos was receptive to learning more. We need to be receptive when someone shows us from Scripture, if we're wrong, to correct the wrong. If we didn't understand something, to learn more. There's a lot to learn about God. We will not know it all till we get to heaven. There are some people that think they know it all. We call them know-it-alls. And generally, when you call somebody a know-it-all, it's not because they know it all. It's because they think they know it all. Paul, or Apollos, and Paul were not know-it-alls. They were still learning. And Priscilla and Aquila give us something also. They didn't stand up in the synagogue and say, Apollos, you don't have it right. No, they quietly pulled Apollos aside and explained to him the way more clearly. And then Apollos says he wanted to go over to Corinth. Priscilla and Aquila and Paul were the ones that started the church in Corinth. But Apollos goes over, and Priscilla and Aquila and the church give him, the church in Ephesus give him a recommendation to go over. Later on, Apollos is so popular in Corinth that Paul has to address the issue in the first letter to the Corinthians. It says, some of you say, I follow Apollos. Some say, I follow Peter. Some say, I follow Paul. Some say, I follow Christ. Christ Jesus is not divided. We are all workmen. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth of the church at Corinth. So some people were trying to pit Apollos against Paul, and Paul said, no, we're all working together. And then while Apollos is over in Corinth, Paul makes it in from his journey, and he comes into Ephesus. He meets some people that knew about repentance, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. So here's another group that was willing to learn. We need to remember to learn. However, Paul went to the synagogue, and for 3 months in the synagogue, he spoke about Jesus is the Messiah. Now, one commentator, what he said was, this has to be the longest period of time that Paul hasn't caused a riot, because there's no indication that he caused a riot during these 3 months. They listened for 3 months. But then some became hardened. They hardened their heart. They wouldn't listen anymore. And they started making slanderous accusations against the way of Jesus Christ. Paul said, okay, we're going to the Hall of Tyrannus. There's a lecture hall that's open every afternoon. And there's even historical secular documents that talk about they closed for their regular educational classes from 11 to 4, sort of like siesta time. So from 11 to 4, the building was vacant, all every day. It's there from 11 to 4, preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. And many, it says not only many, but all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. So think about this. The message of Jesus Christ had been spread throughout the entire area of Asia. That would be modern-day Turkey. Everybody heard. And if you look at the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Revelation, those are all in Asia, that area of Asia. And so several commentators say that all the churches that are mentioned in the first few chapters of Revelation were founded during this time. And so Paul was instrumental in those churches being founded. Mentioned some of them. Paul does mention some of them in his letters, but not all of them. That brings us to verse 11. It says, and a key word, Acts 19:11, God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands. Now, it wasn't Paul that was doing the miracles. God was doing the miracles. And in 2 Corinthians 12:12, Paul talks about, I have shown that I have the authority of God because of the signs of an apostle being seen in my ministry. And in Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4, the author writes about how God attested to the truth of the message by signs and wonders and miracles. Now, we have the New Testament in our hands, and it can be electronic version or the printed version. There's all kind of different ways. We don't have the original manuscripts that they call them autographs, the ones that are written in Paul's or Luke's or whoever wrote it down's hand, but we have the message written down for us. They didn't have that in the time of Paul. So is there message from God or not? Well, there had to be signs and wonders to prove it. Now, Ephesus is a town that is full of people that do all kind of signs and wonders. They have people that are magicians. Part of the time we spent in Orlando, we went to Universal Theaters, and they're the ones that have the Harry Potter area. And so in the Harry Potter movies, everybody's there with a wand being a magician, and in the that genre of literature or movies, there's magic is prevalent. That's sort of how it was viewed in Ephesus, or even like the old Walt Disney movie Fantasia, and Mickey Mouse gets the magic book and starts doing all kind of things. That was in the mindset of the people of Ephesus. Magic is all around us. if you know the right words or the right formula, well, we're even in the month of Halloween in one of the songs. The witches are stirring and stirring and stirring our brew. Okay, there's my song. Okay, I won't burden you with any others. But we know about formulas and things like that being in not only the culture there, but culture now. We hear about people doing things like that. That was a mentality of Ephesus. And so people were looking for the supernatural. And God showed the supernatural power. And that word translated extraordinary from the Greek, it is uncommon, but not the usual things. And as they did this, as these miracles were performed, the results were diseases left the sick people and the evil spirits came out of them. The true power of God was seen over the evil spirits and over the sickness. But then we get a couple of, seven sons of Sceva. Says they were sons of the high priest Sceva. There's no record of any high priest named Sceva. Sceva could have just been, he called himself the high priest. Or it might have been one that wasn't listed and his sons went off. But these seven sons of Sceva, it says they were itinerant, and the Greek word means they're wandering, sort of like they were gypsies. They wandered around doing magic things. And their whole thing was, if we have the right words to say, we can cast out demons. Well, they were not believers in Jesus Christ. They were just there having a money-making venture. We can cast out demons because we have the right formula. So they saw, just like Simon Magnus did when Peter laid his hands on, the Holy Spirit came on. Simon Magnus said, oh, let me buy that power. Peter says, no, you cannot buy the power of God. Well, the seven sons of Sceva go into this demon-possessed man. And he says, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him. The demon goes, I know the power of God. I know who Jesus is. And I've heard about Paul, but who are you? Said, I know Jesus has the power. I know Paul has been given the power by Jesus. But who are you guys to come tell me what to do? And that demon-possessed man beat up the seven sons of Sceva, stripped them of their clothes, and they ran off naked. And everybody in Ephesus heard about it. Film at 11, seven sons of Sceva go streaking through Ephesus, beat up by a demon. They see that it is the power of Jesus that is the one that heals the sick. Not just using the name, but you have to be a true follower of Jesus. And the result, there was fear among the people. The Greek word there is phobos. We get our term phobia. You know, if you are afraid of water, you have hydrophobia. There's even one. If you're afraid of the number 13, triskaidekaphobia. And that's, they had a fear of God. And they held the name of Jesus Christ in high esteem. There's something more powerful about Jesus than anything else in town in Ephesus. And then they had some of the new believers. They came and confessed what they did, disclosed what they did. And they brought their magic books and burned them. Remember I was telling you about that movie Fantasia, how Mickey Mouse had that magic book and from it came all the spells. Well, even in about any time you read about in the fantasy literature, there's always a magic book or something that where you get your formula or your spell from. Well, these magicians took and put their magic books all on a fire and burned them. And it says it was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. That's the equivalent of 10 people's income for 20 years. So think about the income for 20 years for 10 people. That's the value of these books. They saw the value of the relationship with Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ was more valuable than these lies. And they weren't going to sell their books of lies. Their books that had been inspired by demons. They burned them. Nobody else is going to get them. And there was a change that took place in Ephesus. And look at what it says in verse 20 of chapter 19. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. God wins. Now, he showed he had the truth over all the false teachers. Jesus is the name that is greater than any name. Jesus is the only name by which we can be saved. It wasn't any of the others' false things that were being presented in Ephesus. It wasn't just using the name of Jesus as a magic word. Jesus' name is not saying abracadabra. You know, even with our magicians today, they say their little words, abracadabra or something, to make something happen. Well, some people think they can do that with their prayer. When you say in Jesus' name it's into your prayer, it's not putting a magic abracadabra. It's just saying this is the same way Jesus would pray if he was in my situation. And if you remember that with your prayer, it sort of limits how you pray. You don't, God, give me a brand new Lamborghini, abracadabra. No, it doesn't happen that way. Our prayer should be, God, take care of my transportation needs. And it might be a new pair of shoes. That will take care of our transportation needs. Or might we go barefoot for a little bit. Yeah. Some of us like to go barefoot. Yeah. I won't do that here. But, you know, have my shoes on for a little while, so I'll be cautious with that. But we need to see God's truth prevails always. It's not like the Astros playing today. We hope they prevail if you're an Astro fan. If you're a Yankees fan, you hope the Yankees prevail. That's not how it works with Jesus. He prevails every time. God showed his power over all the false methods that were being used in Ephesus. I mention every week that I'll be standing here at the front if there's any decision that needs to be made. And if you're wanting to unite with our church,